You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody because I'm not going to use a guest. I'm not going to waste a guest on Tyler Ennis and the guys that I'm going to be reviewing for this one. Basically, the way today's show is going to work is we have done all of the player reviews that I think should have been done either, you know, with two players at most or single player reviews. I'm going to spend this show talking about some of the guys at the end of the roster or who played smaller roles than the other guys that we talked about, Thomas Bryant, the Ivica Zubats, Tyler Ennis, obviously, and on down that roster, and we'll see where this show takes us. And if it gets to the point where we need to add stuff else. The Julius Randle story took another turn in not taking a turn today. I thought that was kind of interesting. And you know what? I'll start there. That's where I'll start, and then we'll get into some of the names at the end of the roster here. As always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Silver Screen and Roll, Lakers Outsiders, and you can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin-LA. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers. Shouts to you guys getting that show above 3,000 followers. I really appreciate that. The support you guys keep showing us is pretty tremendous. So without further ado, let's jump into this Julius Randle thing. And there isn't much to update here, and I think that's newsworthy in and of itself. It was when Mintz came out and said the things that he said, and it sounded pretty inflammatory. The Lakers could have taken the bait and snapped back, or they could have taken the bait and, you know, sent out like a petty kind of thing. I just think this entire free agency thing, we're still a month away from when any of this actually starts to matter. And for Julius Randle, for the Lakers, it doesn't suit anybody. It doesn't do anybody any good to freak out and get a little annoyed either with Randle feeling the way that he does right now, for the Lakers to get annoyed with Aaron Mintz going publicly with those feelings. I was good to see. I was happy to see. I was, you know, selfishly, because the show could use this kind of, I guess, content fodder. I was kind of hoping, hey, let's see if you know, Pelinka takes the bait here and really goes in on him, but he didn't, and Magic did not either, and so it was good to see that. You know, this entire experience is a big learning experience for all of the involved parties outside of maybe Aaron Mintz and like Rob Pelinka has obviously been on the other end of this negotiation where he is doing this kind of thing for a client of his. And so you got Julius Randle, who, it, you know, felt the way he did. Mintz said the things that he said. The Lakers didn't say anything today. And that's, I think, we're going to leave the story for the foreseeable future until any of this actually starts mattering. So that was good to see. Good on the Lakers for not taking the bait there. Let's go ahead and segue awkwardly into who we're going to talk about, expectations for some of these guys. Now, Luol Deng, no need to talk about that guy. Ivica Zubats, he played less of a role than I think he was hoping to this season, and I think it was for good reason. I don't think he really earned any playing time there. Thomas Bryant, Alex Caruso, Gary Payton II, Travis Ware, Andre Ingram, all those kinds of players. I'll just talk about really quickly about expectations. And really for all of these guys, outside of maybe Zubats, I don't think I had any expectations. Zubats, I was hoping to see build on what I thought was a fairly successful rookie season. But unfortunately, he shows up. Now, there were some reports as to if he was a little injured, a little banged up by the time Summer League rolled around, but he looked awful out there. He looked slow. He looked out of shape. He didn't look right out there. And you kind of thought, well, let's see if Zubats can maybe turn things around in the preseason. He did not. Well, let's see if maybe he gets his legs under him as the season goes along. That he did not. And so it kind of leaves him in this precarious spot of, look, Julius Randle is, if the Lakers bring him back, he's going to get the majority of the minutes as the small ball five because he was the Lakers' best player there. If they bring back Brook Lopez, he's going to get whatever most of the minutes that are left behind by Julius Randle. So you only have really room for one, maybe two guys here. Maybe you have a young project like a Thomas Bryant or Ivica Zubac himself. And then you have, you know, another veteran, let's just say a Channing Frye type or someone who fits kind of a marginal role as the third or fourth string center here. And that really leaves Zubac in this kind of weird spot where what role does he actually see for himself on this team? What role does the Lakers see for him on this team? And what last year showed us was that he didn't necessarily work to really kick down the door and earn himself minutes that people thought that he might be able to. Now, part of that might be maybe those expectations were set at a little too high for Zubats, and maybe they became unrealistic based on, you know, a looter and a riot kind of theory in last year in his rookie season. But be it as it may, that didn't turn out well for him. And the other guy I'm going to talk about, Thomas Bryant, like, I think he's better suited for this modern NBA. And so Zubats is kind of, I think if it comes to it, if the Lakers want to move Luol Deng, maybe they include Ivica Zubats as one of the assets to help make that happen, or you know, maybe Zubats just isn't really, maybe he resigns or whatever, but he doesn't have much of a role, or he doesn't sign at all, really. We'll see where that goes. We'll see what the market is like for him. He is still a young player. He did show some promise. I just don't know if it's any kind of promise that matters in the grand scheme of where the NBA is going next. Other guys here in terms of expectations, Alex Caruso, I didn't really have any. Gary Payton II, even fewer. Tyler Ennis, I was hoping just don't be a disaster. And, well, when we come back, I'll talk about how these guys fared in meeting, surpassing, or falling short of expectations. It's probably not going to go very well for Tyler Ennis here. So I already kind of talked about Ivica Zubats and how he did compared to expectations. I think Ennis fell short of even lower expectations. Like, the reason Zubats might have fallen short of expectations was because I may have been unfair in setting expectations where they did or where I did. And Tyler Ennis, I don't think can make that claim. Like, it was just with Ennis, it was just, well, let's see if he can just not be a complete disaster, then get bought out or waived in after the trade deadline, and maybe Alex Caruso can get the majority of those minutes there, or maybe Tyler Ennis won't be important at all because of all the creativity seen throughout the Lakers roster in the form of obviously Lonzo, but Ingram played some point guard this season. Julius Randle is capable of creating for others, so I thought maybe how terrible Tyler Ennis is at basketball would be mitigated by some of what went on, what would go on with the Lakers roster. But unfortunately, Lonzo Ball misses 30 games. Brandon Ingram misses some time after he starts showing what he was capable of showing as a point guard. And so what winds up happening is Ennis put in a spot to kind of try to help the team tread water, was not able to do that, and he was bad. He was bad, and anybody who thinks he isn't bad should feel bad. In terms of other guys, Thomas Bryant, I wish we would have seen more of Thomas Bryant. Really, I every time he kind of stepped onto the court, my eyebrows raised and I was really paying attention for what we could see from him. So in terms of NBA experience, I think his grade would be an incomplete because we didn't see very much of it. And maybe that in and of itself is indicative of where Thomas Bryant currently is. He is absolutely a project. He has great skills to work with, and I think they work in where the NBA is going or where the NBA currently sits. But he is still very much a project. And we'll see this upcoming season if he's able to step into more of a role or if he continues to tear up the G League, which, look, to his credit, he did. He was, according to everybody who watched those games, myself included, on the rare occasion where I did, he jumped off the screen. He was one of the better players almost any time he walked onto those courts out there. Now, some of that might have to do with obviously playing the caliber of players, but also playing style. He's insanely energetic. His motor is crazy. He can get out and run. He can shoot the 3-point shot. So really, from a center standpoint, he fills he checks those boxes. And so what you saw was somebody really perform extremely well in that kind of setting. It's just a matter of what we see from him in summer league and then into preseason and into next year's regular season and what he might be able to offer there. Alex Caruso was a guy that I really liked what I saw from him in Vegas and then in the preseason. And again, it was when he would play, it was, look, we'll when next time Pete is on, we're going to talk about Luke Walton's season and all those things. But I thought one of the knocks on Luke Walton that I had throughout the season was, what are you looking at when Tyler Ennis is out there playing or Alex Caruso is out there playing that would lead you to the conclusion that there's a spot for Tyler Ennis on the team and Alex Caruso's contract shouldn't change over to just a standard NBA contract? Unfortunately, it did not work out that way, and the Lakers waited until the D-League season or the G-League season was over, and they used Alex Caruso more from that point on. But from what I saw, he met my expectations, which I didn't really have any. So I guess in that respect, he exceeded those expectations. He cleared that bar by quite a margin. So, you know, good on Caruso for that. Other guys like Gary Payton II, Travis Ware, Andre Ingram, those guys just, look, they were there. Travis Ware showed flashes. He could shoot, which is going to serve him well. And we'll see how what happens with his career moving forward. But you know, and Gary Payton II, I thought it was kind of a weird signing at all. And he hardly came up and played at all with the Lakers. So we'll see where his career takes him. And then Andre Ingram is a great story and lit the world on fire when he was finally given an opportunity. So good on him for that. I'm a little dubious of 6'3" point guard or 6'3" shooting guards in today's NBA. I think you need to be able to switch on to everybody. And if you can't, then you become a liability. And if you're a liability on defense, you have to be that much better on offense. And I don't know if he's quite capable of that. We'll get to more of what I'd like to see from all these guys moving forward here in a second. So I already talked about Ivica Zubac in the production that he had last year. In terms of what I would like to see from him moving forward, look, he needs to figure out a way to maintain his bulk and be able to get people to bounce off of him. I don't know if maybe he lost too much weight last year and because of that was getting bounced around all over the place, but for whatever reason, he was just never on balance. And I don't know if that's, like I said, maybe he lost too much weight and focused a little bit too heavily on becoming a little bit more streamlined for the modern NBA. But from what I saw there, I would say I'm not going to tell him, hey, go out and go on the Anthony Irwin diet. I wouldn't advise that for anybody, really. But what I will say, though, is he needs to find more of a balance to be balanced more. right? Thomas Bryant, I just want to see the guy. So we saw it last year from Ivica Zubac, where he showed up to Summer League with a little bit of hype behind him, and people were really excited to see what this guy might offer in his second season down there playing there, and he was a disaster. So for Thomas Bryant, I would like to see him show up and make it very obvious that he is too good to be playing in Summer League, or if he isn't quite there, which is fine because he isn't like a high-end lottery talent, but if he isn't quite there to the point where he shows everybody and you start to wonder, hey, what's this guy actually getting out of playing down here? I would like to see him at least just for 75, 80, 85% of the time that he's on the court, he needs to be one of the better players for the Lakers in those situations. So that's what I'd like to see from him specifically, and what I would like to see him work on specifically is just get in the film room and really focus on the mental aspects of the game. Reads defensively, reads offensively. He's very good. I liked what I saw for the most part rolling to the basket, but I would like to see him get a little bit better with his decision making as he's doing so. Obviously, continue to work on that shot, because the better he gets from out there, the more he opens up the game, not just for himself, but for everybody else. And as Julius Randle, if he is still around, as Julius Randle continues to figure out his game, I feel like if you're going to pair him with another big, they have to be able to shoot the three-point shot. And the more that Thomas Bryant figures that out for himself, the better suited he is to hopefully be paired with Julius Randle as at least a second or third big kind of in that rotation. Other guys, what I would like to see from those guys moving forward, well, from Tyler Ennis, frankly, I would like to not see him moving forward. I hope that experiment is a thing of the complete past. Best of luck to wherever he winds up. But if he's a Laker next season, look, this show will not be pretty. My reaction to that potential re-signing would not be pretty. For Alex Caruso, look, the Lakers are going to be in the market for a steady backup point guard, and if he can slide into that role and help out in that regard, then cool. He needs to become a better shooter. The Lakers, Lonzo Ball can get away with not being as good a shooter or being a streaky shooter because of the impact he has defensively. So either Caruso needs to figure out a way to be a better shooter or to figure out a way to impact the game in other ways. When his counterpart on the roster is Tyler Ennis, he was able to get by with just not being Tyler Ennis. But for Alex Caruso next season, we're all hoping that the Lakers are a good team, and more gets asked of everybody across the roster when the team gets better and when there's more expectations heaped on the team. So we'll see how he can come through in that kind of situation. Other guys, again, we talked about, Gary Payton II, Travis Ware, Andre Ingram. For especially Gary Payton II, best of luck moving forward. He needs to learn how to shoot. He needs to get better defensively. He needs to be able to make better reads and quicker reads in the pick and roll. I don't see him as really an NBA player. Again, with all of these situations, anytime I say that about a guy, I hope they prove me wrong. I never saw it at any point whenever he was on the court. I just kind of, whatever. Travis Ware, just like Thomas Bryant, being able to shoot even a little bit is a great thing. It's a great place to start. So at least he has that going for him. Now, what can he build on moving forward? He plays that, look, for lack of a better term, white guy defense, where it's just, all right, we don't expect much out of you, but just don't be a disaster. He's fairly good when those are the baseline expectations, but as Alex Caruso will find, as Thomas Bryant or Ivica Zubac will find, those kinds of expectations are hopefully going to be a thing of the past when Paul George or LeBron or even if they aren't on the team next year and the Lakers have more expectations on them just because of natural development, those kind of basement level expectations aren't going to get it done, they'll need to, you know, earn higher expectations and then continue to exceed those if they want to actually carve out roles for themselves. I do want to take this quick second here, because this is the last, I guess, player review, and we'll start getting into more of the day-to-day stuff, the day-to-day coverage as best we can. But Luol Deng is going to need to be discussed at some point. And maybe, you know, and this is going to be a conversation that continues to evolve over the course of the entire offseason, the entire summer. But the Lakers need to start, you know, and I'm sure they already have, start doing their research on what the market for taking Luol Deng's contract might be. What kind of asset teams will need to... Now, they kind of set the market for themselves in that D'Angelo Russell trade, but at least Mozgov could play, and Mozgov was cheaper, and teams were taking on an extra year of salary compared to what teams would be taking on for Luol Deng's contract this upcoming year. So I don't think the Lakers will have to get rid of any kind of high-end lottery talent to get rid of Luol Deng, but the Kyle Kuzmas, the Josh Harts, the Thomas Bryant, Ivica Zubats, obviously those kinds of guys, or the Cavs pick, the 25th pick that the Lakers currently hold, like that, those are things that the Lakers are going to have to think long and hard about whether or not they want to move Luol Deng's contract. And now, personally, I am firmly planted on the, no, you should probably get rid of that contract so that you can sign Randall and have two max slots still available. Just because, look, I don't think you can replicate Julius Randle in today's market in the draft. I'm not really seeing that kind of player, and so you need to get that kind of thing done. As painful as it would be, just like Pete and I talked about a few shows ago, as painful as it would be to lose a Josh Hart, you have to do that kind of thing if it means you keep Julius Randle. And you know, maybe the Lakers opt for just stretching Luol Deng or straight buying him out, whatever it might be. But they need to make a decision, I think, there this year, based on how the market plays itself out, based on the whole Kawhi Leonard situation. All of those things need to get taken into account here. And I hope that Luol Deng starts next season as a member of a different organization or a member of no organization at all. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you, everybody, for listening to that. I hope I was able to kind of sandwich the dry, hardcore Tyler Ennis analysis with some meteor parcels in the version of Julius Randle's update, some Luol Deng trade stuff. The next show that we have here, Pete and I are going to talk about Luke Walton, and then maybe either we'll do Luke Walton's only, you know, a specific show, and then a Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka or front office kind of organizational grade for another one, or maybe we do all of that together so that we get Pete talking about some more day-to-day stuff. I am going to start, I personally don't really focus too much on draft stuff. My kind of technique with that is, once the Lakers draft somebody, that's when I kind of really start doing my research as to what that player might bring to the table. But we will start focusing on some of the names that the Lakers are looking at there. Maybe they'll, you know, if we get it second, we'll have a conversation as to what the Lakers should do with that number 25 pick, if they should try to move it for immediate help to pair with some of the guys that they're thinking of bringing in, or if maybe they should try to obviously use the pick as one of them and then maybe ship it out with Luol Deng to open up a little bit more flexibility. All of those conversations will probably take place over the next few weeks. Enjoy the playoffs, everybody. I've had a lot of fun. A lot of people seem to dislike these playoffs, but I've had a lot of fun with them. Keep enjoying that. Keep subscribing to the show, rating and reviewing the show with your questions and comments. I really appreciated those. Keep those coming. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers. You can find the show all over the internets, the interwebs, the Twitters, the Facebooks, all of those good things. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.